This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley. Please have a look at www.lumen.org.uk to find YouTube videos of talks by Jeff, books and resources written by Jeff, as well as courses and more. That's www.lumen.org.uk.
Romans chapter 4 begins with a reference back to Abraham. And Paul, I think, refers back to Abraham and refers back to people like him later in chapter 8, verse 29, when he talks about those whom God foreknew. We'll obviously talk about that when we come to Romans chapter 8. But what should we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? For Abraham is one of the people God foreknew. The word "for" there implies before. He's our father before us, someone God knew before us, foreknew. We'll come back to that in chapter 8. But what shall we say that Abraham discovered in this matter? Which matter? This whole thing about faith and righteousness coming through faith. Now, Paul is picking up Abraham because in the Jewish religion, they said, look at the works Abraham did and how that made him right with God. And Paul is now going to demolish that thinking. For he says in verse 2, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he'd got something to boast about. Well, not before God, obviously, but before other people, he could say, look, I have been justified by God because of what I have done. But what does actually God say about Abraham? What does the Bible teach? What have the Jews missed about what Scripture says? And Paul then quotes this next verse from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, where it says, Abraham believed God. And this belief in God was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, Abraham's faith is what Genesis 15, verse 6 says made him righteous. It never says Abraham was made righteous because of all the works he did. It says he was made righteous because he took God at his word. And one of the exciting things, perhaps, about Abraham being made righteous because he took God at his word is if you go back to Genesis and read just how much Abraham struggled with taking God at his word, how he laughed, Sarah laughed, how he said, oh, come on, God, I'm now 100 years old and my wife is 90 and her womb is dead. And can you really expect me to believe? But nonetheless, I will believe. And then he failed to believe because Sarah said to him, oh, God didn't really mean I would give you a son, Abraham. He means you've got to go off with someone else. Go and take my concubine. Go and do it that way. That's what God meant. And Abraham actually did it. But yet he comes back and says, okay, God, I'll do it your way. I believe that you will do it. And it will be me and Sarah. And it was credited to him as righteousness. So the first thing I think from all of this is, yes, Abraham had faith, but it was a wavering faith. It wasn't a solid faith. It wasn't a firm as a rock faith. It was strong one day and weak the next. And he made mistakes. I find that very encouraging as well. So verse 4 says, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. You see, it's not earned. Earning is what comes from wages. That's a wage is earned. It's yours by right. If it's not paid to you, you have the right to complain. This is a gift, and it's a gift that comes simply because you trust the giver. God is the provider, and you say, I believe God. You will provide what I need to be made right with you. Lord, I cannot be holy. I cannot be good. I cannot get it right. I am going to fail and fail and fail. So I'm not going to trust in my works. I trust you through what Jesus did that I am made right. And that should deal without any sense of guilt, because guilt is saying you are not worthy. You are going to be punished for this. Faith says, I am not worthy, but Christ is worthy. Christ died. By his blood, I am made right. No need for guilt, because I could never be right. Guilt is just reminding me that I'm never right, and I just don't need it because I know that's true. But in Jesus, I am made righteous. David, verse 6, another of those God foreknew, knew in the past, agrees with all of this. And he says the following, and this is Psalm 32, 33. My glasses are not strong enough to read the little print. 32, I was right the first time. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. And Paul's actually taken an amplified version of what it says in most of our translations of Psalm 32. Because in most it says, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not count against him. But here he's saying, will never count against him. Blessed are you because your sin will never count against you. Shall we say that again? Do you want to say it with me? My sin will never count against me. My sin will never count against me because I trust in God. I have faith in God. And that is credited to me as righteousness, and therefore my sin will never count against me. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, are atoned for, are washed in the blood of the Lamb, whatever language you want. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. We need to let these words wash over us. Abraham believed God. That belief was credited to him as righteousness. Blessed is the person whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed because your sin will never count against you. The Lord will never count it against you. It is an absolute incredible truth. This is grace. Grace is God taking you as you are. And I don't know today how conscious you are of your sin. I prayed for a bigger revelation of grace, and what came to immediately was a bigger sensation of how much sin, how sinful I am. And against that, grace covers it. Grace is bigger than my sin. Paul said he is the worst of all sinners. That should perhaps be what we all come to an understanding of. I can never condemn someone else, because I know how deeply I am out of line with God, even though I've walked with him seemingly for 50 years. I still know I am way out of line. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Abraham testifies to this. It's about belief. And David testifies to this and writes it down. Forgiven means dealt with, means covered, means forgotten. Never on your account. That is what Paul is getting at in Romans. He's been talking about the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles and law and grace. And he's coming now and saying, look, it's not about works. It's not about the law. The law points your sin out. Grace wipes your sin out. That's what he's saying. And that is the great message of this book. And these people God foreknew, Abraham and David, testify to this. And we will just read what it says in Romans 8:29, just to finish off today. For those God knew in the past, for those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. What does that mean? It means their sin never counts against them. So they're now being conformed to be like his son. Because as we are wiped clean of sin, in God's eyes, we stand before him as Jesus. That's what the gospel is. God predestines us to be conformed, to be like his son. Predestined just means, really, he set you on the path to be like his son. And that means he starts to see you like Jesus. Your sin will never count against you. And in eternity, you will be with him as his bride, as part of the body of Christ, indistinguishable, because the two shall become one. That's what marriage is all about. The marriage of the son and his groom, the two shall become one. We shall be like Christ. That is grace. It's so big a subject. And we need to meditate on it more. But for today, the first eight verses of Romans chapter 4, say them again. Abraham believed God. That belief was credited to him as righteousness. And David wrote, blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person whose sin the Lord will never count against them.
Thank you for listening.